We're now going to take a look at the senses of reduction that I mentioned again. We're going to simplify it a bit. Now, I'm going to say that a reduction argument is one that tries to show that there are only X, only this particular kind of properties and laws. Everything is really this kind of thing. So, of course, that kind of thing, it has to be the nature of the divine as well. If there's only that kind of thing, then the divine is too. Or show that things whose nature is X, whichever of these characterize that, produce all the other kinds of properties and laws. If there are any other kinds, they're all produced by, caused by the ones whose nature, things whose nature is X, whichever X, one of these X stands for. Now, I'm going to say that our Christian philosophy is going to resist all sorts of rejections. We want to take these as the way that God has created the world that we experience before we go to make theories about it. And that means that there's something wrong with trying to reduce everything to one or another in order to make that divine, because we know that none of them are. They're all creations of the only divinity, the true and living God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So there are three ways that these arguments can go awry, askew, in addition to contradicting themselves. So I'm going to take this top part off here, and we're going to look at ways that reduction arguments can fail. And then at the very end of this course, the last lecture is going to show you why every attempt to make any of these kinds the nature of what is divine minimally commits this one and is an incoherent argument. I'm telling you where it's going, see? Now, let's take a look. What can go wrong with an argument? Well, it can contain a logical contradiction. Without realizing it, people propose theories that in fact contain logical contradictions. So that in the end somewhere they say that A is true and A is false. So as the argument stands, it can't be right. If it contradicts itself, it's wrong. It could also assert logical contraries. Contraries aren't quite contradictions. They're sentences such as, no horses can be racehorses, all horses are racehorses. Those can both and are both false. But they can't both be true. And if you assert them both, that's an incoherence as well. So these are all things that can go wrong with an argument, and I'm calling them incoherencies. This is what it means for an argument to be incoherent. It can be logically incoherent. But then there's another way it can be, and this is something we call self-referential incoherence. That is, a claim or a theory, a viewpoint, says everything's this way, and when you apply that to itself, since it said everything, it includes itself, you apply it to itself, it cancels itself. There's a weak and a strong sense of each of these. So self-referential incoherence, in the weak sense, is going to be something like this. All beliefs are caused by brain processes. Okay? There was an article in a magazine I read last summer in which the author made that claim. Brain processes force us to believe what we believe. We don't choose any belief. They just occur and we believe what we believe, and that's the end of it. And I pointed out in a letter to that journal that if that were true, it would be true of the claim that all beliefs are caused by brain processes. That too would be caused by brain processes. And it's not just all the other beliefs we couldn't know to be true because they're just forced on us. It's that too. So it cancels itself. This is incoherent in the weak sense, Because it doesn't mean that that this claim has to be false. It means that you could never know that it's true. That's the weaker sense. It is such that if it were true, you could never know that it's true, which is a terrible spot for a theory to be in. The theory is what's trying to explain things. It's trying to clear up mysteries, not make an assertion that cancels itself. It could also be incoherent in a strong sense. And we can illustrate that pretty easily as well. Take the sentence that's famous in the history of Taoism. Nothing can be said of the Tao. The only way you can assert this is to say it. I mean, you could write it or say it, but it says nothing can be said of the Tao. What did you just do? You just said something of the Tao. So taken literally, which is not the way it's intended in Taoism, by the way, I know that. Taken literally and without any explanatory background, that's self-referentially incoherent in the strong sense. If it's true, it's false. Therefore, it's false. That's the first additional kind of incoherence. These are the ones that I'm saying can go wrong in addition to logical mistakes. The second one is self-assumptive incoherence, and it too has a weak and a strong sense. Self-assumptive incoherence occurs when someone offers an explanation or a theory, and there's nothing in the explanation that's incompatible with itself or anything like the first one, but there's an assumption that must be made for these premises to be true, and the assumption is incompatible with the conclusion. For example, these are all examples of beliefs that have been affirmed and are incoherent for this reason. I mean, they're real examples. They're not just ones I made up. Okay. This, too, has a strong and a weak sense. Let's look at the first one. The first one, the weak sense, is somebody says evolution was a random process. And our brains are the products of evolution, so they're the products of a random process. So what confidence have we that our brains present to us reality as it is? One thinker said, maybe there are no objects with properties out there. There are no things with properties. That's the way our brains present reality to us. Maybe it's not there. Maybe they're not there. So, put here, there are no things with properties. Now, maybe you can see already what's wrong with that. The reason for concluding this was that we are the products of evolution, and it was a random process, and if it was a random process, there's no reason for us to think that the randomness of it got things just right. We have a brain that really shows us the way things are. But if you try to conclude from that we don't know that there are things with properties, that undercuts the assumption of evolution. If there are no things with properties, there are no life forms that evolved. So you're giving as a reason for believing this, the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution assumes there are things with properties. That's incoherent. Self-assumptively incoherent, I'm calling it. And it is so in the weak sense. I'm sorry, it's so in the strong sense. If there are no things with properties, then evolution didn't take place. If it did, then there are things with properties. So this has to be false. This is the strong sense in which the conclusion turns out false. The weak sense is a little lighter. Once again, the weak sense means that the theory is such that we can't know it to be true even if it is true. So it might be, but we can't know it. So, let's see. Let's take again the example that says brain processes produce all our beliefs. We checked that one before. That turned out to be self-referentially incoherent. It's also self-assumptively incoherent. Brain processes produce all our beliefs. Therefore, we can't know that the beliefs correspond to reality. But then we can't know that brain processes produce all our beliefs either. Brain processes are also things that exist in the world. We can't see our own brain while we think, but we can see somebody else's on a scope or by opening up their skull. Brains are real objects. If they produce all our beliefs, then they produce our belief that they produce all our beliefs. Not a good spot to be in. So this is self-assumptively incoherent as well as self-referentially, and it is so in the weak sense. Now, self-referential incoherence is pretty well known among philosophers, but not many of them distinguish self-assumptive incoherence or self-performative incoherence. So I want to spend a little time with them, a little more time, just because they've been overlooked so often. And I have to do some housekeeping here. I've done the first two. I did A and B, so let's first do C, and then I'm going to come back and talk some more about them. Self-performative, what does that mean? That means the conclusion that you come to, or the theory that you're trying to promote, is incompatible with some activity the thinker has to do in order to arrive at that theory or that conclusion. So, for example, a very simple illustration. I've got a beaker with water in it, and I want to know what the temperature is. And somebody says to me, oh, that's easy, comes along and plugs a thermometer in it. And the thermometer reads 78 degrees. Do I know that the water was 78 degrees before the thermometer was put in it? No. There's every reason to believe that the thermometer changed the temperature of the water. The very act that you have to perform to get the information wrecks the information. That's self-performatively incoherent in the weak sense. Concluding that now I have the temperature that the water was before the thermometer went in it is incoherent in the weak sense. There's a fraction of a chance it could be true, but you'll never know. It's a claim that you cannot know to be true, even if it is true. That's the weak sense. Self-performative in the strong sense is what Descartes discovered when he offered as a sure and certain starting point for theory of knowledge that we exist, that each of us, when we affirm our own existence, cannot be mistaken. That's what he wanted, something that just can't be wrong. And he doesn't explain why it is we can't be wrong, but the argument amounts to saying this. Whenever I assert in the first person, I talk about myself, and I say, I do not exist, that has to be false because I had to exist to assert it. You understand? That's the performance, that's the action that the thinker has to take, asserting his non-existence, and it's incompatible with the action. The action can only be done if I do exist. So that's the strong sense. That's the sense that makes it false. And that's what Descartes wanted. He didn't explain its nature. He didn't say, well, this comes out that our own denying our own existence is incoherent in this self-performative way. And so it didn't do all of that. Nevertheless, he saw this point. He had the insight with it without being able to explain it. So I'm suggesting that we've got some things to work with here. We've got self-referential incoherence, self-assumptive, self-performative, and each in a weak and in a strong sense. So in addition to logical criteria, here are six more. And again, I'm telling you that the reason we're doing all this is when we get to the end and we look at the arguments for some one of these being, or two, being the character, the nature of the divine, we're going to find that every such claim is minimally, self-performatively incoherent in the weak sense, and is therefore a terrible proposal, a theory we couldn't know to be true even if it were. That's where this is headed. Now, some of this is a little convoluted, and it may be so new to a lot of you that you'll have a bit of a struggle with it. So I'm going to suggest that you rerun this and look at it again. Look at the explanation in your reading and see if you can't peg these in your own mind. These are things that can go wrong with an argument or a theory. What are they? Well, they can be logical incoherencies. Okay, fine, we can contradict ourselves. What else? A claim we make can cancel itself. That is, we make the claim that all beliefs are this way. That includes the belief that all the beliefs are this way. And maybe it trashes it. Or we have a claim or a theory, and its conclusion is incompatible with one of its assumptions. There's nothing in any of the premises that's incompatible with the conclusion. Maybe the conclusion follows from them. But if one of the premises has to make this assumption, and the assumption is inconsistent with the conclusion, you've got another really bad proposal. And finally, the conclusion of an argument or the main claim of a theory could be such that it's not consistent with, not compatible with, some activity of the thinker, some action the thinker has to perform in order to arrive at that conclusion. In that case, it's self-performatively incoherent, and all of those are really bad boys. You do not want to get stuck with a theory that's incoherent in any one of those senses. Even the weak senses of them all are enough to do it in. If the theory is such that even if it were true, you couldn't know that it was true, it doesn't explain anything. And if the theory is such that if it's true, it's false, then it's not worth the time of day. It's not worth considering. I'm going to stop there and give you a chance to think that over. And then when I come back, we'll start a new topic. But before we do, I'll review this a bit again.